T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. And man, we have seen, we're bringing in Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider. Let's just do this. Let's just bring Seth in. Seth, I go back to early in my career, and I had a chance to sit down and very early and talk with Sparky Anderson. Now, I grew up in Cincinnati. I was a huge Big Red Machine fan. And he told me the story about Game 6 in Boston, the home run. And he had said that as he's walking down in the tunnel, completely dejected, he's dressed, he's got his suit on, they're heading to the bus, and Pete Rose runs up behind him and jumps around and goes, "Skip, wasn't that the most incredible game you've ever been a part of?" And Sparky turns to Pete and says, "Are you kidding me, Peter, Edward? We just lost the heartbreaker." And Pete said, "F that, don't worry about it, we're going to win tomorrow, but wasn't that a great game?" That's the kind of energy that came out of that game last night. It was just what an incredible game that thing was. Although, when you're talking about the ratio from strikeouts to home runs, it's pretty much a microcosm of the season. But, man, what a game last night.
Yeah, it's a 2017 classic, right?
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it. I don't want to hold it to, like, the 91 World Series. And, you know, somebody said, was that one of the greatest games you've ever seen? I mean, I was at, you know, games 4 and 5 in New York in 2001. You know, game 6 in New York when Josh Beckett shut out the Yankees. You know, I've seen that. I remember 97. You know, I there's a lot of series that have been, you know, absolutely classic. To me, in order to have a classic World Series, you need to go 6. You do not need to go 7.
Mm-hmm.
And this has all the makings of it. It's a heavyweight fight. It's two really great teams. And I look forward to the next one, you know. And that's the best thing that baseball can present. Yeah, there's too many home runs, but I'll give him a pass on the home run numbers, only in the sense that it was 100 degrees last night.
Right.
And the ball was flying. And I'll make the argument that if 3 of the 5 home runs hit in extra innings, 3 of them are fly balls if it's 20 degrees cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And in October, you know, and there you go. Well, there's a global warming issue. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
So, right.
But, you know, that's to me, you know, more about it. To me, did it hold my attention? Absolutely. You know, there were managerial decisions I didn't agree with. And, you know, for A.J. Hinch to finally see a reliever, you know, close out a ball game, his bullpen has been maligned. And he boasted about that bullpen going into the postseason.
I will say this, and this is completely off of the baseball topic. Yeah. The intro, the presentation, drama of Vin Scully was phenomenal. Whoever decided to say, let's not just have him walk out there and throw it out, but give that man a microphone, was brilliant.
I got a text message. I'm not giving out his name because I'm not attributing this in case he's wrong. But I heard that was his idea, that they asked him to throw out the first pitch,
mm-hmm.
and he said, I'm not throwing a first pitch. What is he, 90 years old? Like,
right.
I'm not throwing a baseball, but I have a voice, and the people want to hear my voice more than they want to see me do something.
He's dead on right.
He's right.
He's dead on right.
He's the best there is. And, you know, and I know you're in a town that has Uke, and trust me, I post that picture. I'm not obsessed with posting selfies, but I took a picture with Bob Uecker that David Wright took, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that picture was, you know, the respect I have for Bob Uecker is immeasurable. But Vin Scully's the king of the king.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before. I said, you know, just being who I am and growing up and where I grew up, I started out with Al Michaels, and then Marty Brenneman took over for Al Michaels.
Sure.
And so I had a Hall of Fame voice, you know, my entire career. And then I get a chance to come here and not only work with Bob at times, but I got to fill in for Bob when he went and got inducted into the Hall of Fame. I got to fill that seat and call the games. So to say that I've lived a lifetime and had a dream come true, that's it. That's all I ever wanted to do was call baseball. Right. There's a romance to baseball. But to watch Vin Scully, the guy that everybody reveres, it was amazing. And whoever, like I said, whoever put that, if that was him, kudos to him. That was a brilliant move. And to watch him be able to work in such a gentlemanly way a crowd was just, it gave me goosebumps to watch. And I posted the video again today on my Facebook page because I sit here and watch it during the break and I just get goosebumps all over again.
Well, and give the Dodgers credit for this. They are showmen. You know what I mean? That's an organization, and the country doesn't know that because they haven't been in the World Series since 1988. But this is a franchise that, especially since the move to L.A., and you talk about, you know, their illustrious history, and there's such the Brooklyn connection, and Vin Scully predates that. You know, he was in Brooklyn, and he's a New York guy. He's a Fordham graduate who loves to talk about Fordham. He loves to talk about Fordham University, and, you know, because they love to rub Syracuse people's nose in it. Like, they are convinced that Fordham's the best journalism school, and Syracuse people are like, yeah, what are you talking about? And then comes Vin Scully, and what do you say? Like, how could you argue with that? Vin Scully is great. I love that he's in good health. I pray for his health. I pray for all these guys because I don't think we have that anymore. There's no disrespect to Brian Anderson, who's great, but, I don't think Brian Anderson's going to be the TV announcer for 50 years.
Right.
That's what Vin Scully did. Ernie Harwell, you don't have that, you know. You see, I don't know, I talked to Gary Cohen. Gary Cohen's the TV voice of the Mets. He's been there for 26 years. That's a legacy.
Right.
There's something to that, and that's a dying breed. And in this technological age, Greg Schulte has been the only radio voice the Diamondbacks have ever had. But that's the Diamondbacks.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is the Dodgers. So it's a very different thing, and I thought the whole night was really, really compelling.
It was fantastic. To say the very least, it was just simply fantastic. So getting on to baseball, now we're tied at a game apiece. And, I had thought all along, I thought, you know what, pitching might favor the Dodgers. I thought the bats might favor Houston because they got on a little bit of a roll. How do you see this thing going? And not to say, because I know you hate that kind of question, but
No.
In essence, I'm looking down the road, pitchers versus hitting, and I want to know how you see this thing going.
But there's two things to that. The first one is number one, if you're going to compare starting pitching, I'll go Astros. Because if you're going to combine Rich Hill, Yu Darvish, and Clayton Kershaw, and I get to combine Lance McCullers, Justin Verlander, and Dallas Keuchel, I'll take Houston. Now, you want to give me bullpen, that's fine. Dave Robertson, this is the one thing I'll admit. I did a lot of radio today. I have not had time to really look. But Dave Roberts has not given me a good enough explanation for why he brought Brandon Morrow in the seventh, which I had no issue with, but then not let him pitch the eighth, which is his inning.
Mm-hmm.
He threw 14 pitches in the seventh inning. Why are you asking Kenley Jansen to do something? And this is one of my biggest pet peeves about the playoffs. It's, why do you wait till the highest stage to try something you've never done before? And what is it about Kenley Jansen that we wouldn't think that would be awkward for him?
Right.
And so, to me, keep guys in routine. If you felt the need, because you were so impressed with Joe Maddon and Terry Francona last year in their topsy-turvy ways of handling bullpens, then do me a favor. Why are you putting Kenley Jansen in a position that he's never been put in before and not use the guy that has been money for you? Brandon Morrow's been money. Brandon Morrow has been a guy who's tried to be Jeff Nelson. Like, that's what he's looking. That's his mentor. And this was a former starter, because I knew him in Seattle, and he's a former starter who's finally embraced the role that he's in. Let him do it.
I thought it was brilliant. I was listening to, I don't know who the analyst was. I don't know if it was last night or it was this morning, but I was going back, and I'm listening, and I thought, okay, when you start talking about starting pitching and you're only going to guy, this is your chart. You're going to go use a guy for four innings. He's going to throw so many pitches in this net. And the question is, well, look, you got a guy in a role. Why would you pull him out? because you can then turn him around with the off days, and you can fortify your pen with starters because of the off days. So you manage differently when you get to the series because of the off days and because of, it's not a continuous series in that sense. So you can actually reuse starters. You don't have to use the depth of your bullpen. You can use the best of the best against this team. So then you start to rethink to yourself, the best of the best pitching staff, don't you then give the nod to the Dodgers?
Well, if you include everybody, sure. I mean, the thing that I thought, you know, we talk about tests, and here's a perfect example. You're talking about two teams that had 13-game leads in August. They had, forget the fact that the Astros had 5 months of doing nothing, but the Dodgers had about 3 months of the same, right? They went on that hot streak right around the All-Star break. And the Dodgers have these huge leads, and you don't want to try Canley Jansen in the eighth inning once? In a game that's going to have no impact on your season, how about this? Why don't you throw Clayton Kershaw on 3 days rest?
Right.
See how his body reacts. Because if you're telling me that if the Astros win game three, they're not going to seriously consider Kershaw? Now, I don't think they'll do it. I don't think they'll do it, but they are tempted to. And I know that if it was 3-0, they would easily have gone Kershaw on short rest. And all I'm saying is, it's not like you had a pennant race. It's not like you had a battle toward the end of the season where every game's fighting tooth and nail. You know who couldn't do that? The Cubs. The
right.
Cubs had a division race. They went until the second to last weekend of the season. The Dodgers didn't have that. They clinched their division in July.
It is it's fascinating to watch the moves. It's fascinating to watch how the postseason is managed. I think the cerebral portion of the series, I think, is what's got me more than anything, is to watch. I mean, obviously, you watch what's going on in between pitches because that's really where the mental aspect, the action of this becomes, and then what actually happens on the field is completely different. Does it bother you that we have come to this where it's all long balls? It's long balls or nothing, and their strikeouts are at an alarming rate, and you can go through the statistics. I saw that last night on the television. It's 140 players this year struck out more than 100 times, and you go back years and years and years ago, there was like 30. So is baseball better or worse as we watch this microcosm of the season unfold in front of us?
Well, I mean, if you just listen to our segments over the year, it's much, much worse. And it has become harder on defenses because there's too much standing around. You take the specialization of bullpens, which is all the extra pitching changes, but you factor that in with these 8-9 pitch at bats that turn into swinging strike threes. It's become a much slower game. I tweeted the other night, I said, oh, so now these trips to the mound, they're going to put like a 10-second commercial. That doesn't speed the game up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That just gives me another reason. Now the announcers are not having a conversation, which might keep me interested. Now there's nothing stopping me from reaching for my iPad.
Yeah.
And my wife commented to this because she obviously, when I was at the games last week, I did the same thing. I have not watched a baseball game this season without my iPad. That's ridiculous.
Well, you're a guy that's in the know, though. You've got enough. You've got binge watching to do with all the baseball you intake.
Right, but when this game is going on, and I laugh because people were texting me about, are you staying up? Because I was supposed to do post-game stuff last night, and I was like, people were wondering if I was going to bail. I said, no, I'm not going to bail, but I did see Netflix. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't – if you're going to the mound and you're going to play ads for T-Mobile, then do me a favor. That's fine. I don't need to pay attention to that. There was nothing discernible about the broadcast, and I'm not an anti-Joe Buck guy. I don't mind John Smoltz. I just don't. I think Ron Darling's better.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ron Darling and Brian Anderson is a better combination.
I think Brian Anderson did a fantastic job this postseason.
He did. He was amazing, but I think Darling helps him. I think Darling did in the Nationals. Did you and I talk about that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I think Darling, pulled a Tony Romo. I mean, that is essentially what he did.
Right. Isn't it amazing that we're already talking about Tony Romo in that same light?
No, but you understand a lot. Like, that's the best way to describe it.
Right.
It's the most comprehensive way to actually say it. I just think that from a standpoint of last night, if you want to just give the pass to it's the weather, and that's why so many of the long balls, it is a microcosm of this problem that plagues baseball. There's no protecting the plate. There's no shortening of swings. That is not the sabermetric way. And there's something called a productive strikeout. And you saw it last night. When guys struck out, if they burn eight pitches from the supposing starting pitcher, that's considered worth it. And I'm sorry, in the 70s and 80s, and that's before my, you know, career, I've covered this sport, this is my 22nd season. But in the days when I was just a fan, players have told me, Billy Sample told me this all along, if you struck out, you were not allowed to utilize the services of the bat boy. You had to carry your own bat to the dugout in shame.
Not anymore.
Now you get high fives.
Yeah, not anymore,
now,
yeah.
Now we tell Paul Goldschmidt he's an MVP.
Right.
No, that's amazing.
Next week, we didn't get a chance to touch on it today. We're running late, but I do want to touch on Joe Girardi, and then I do want to touch, obviously, we'll touch more on the World Series and the way things are going, and then getting into the offseason.
Can I have 5 seconds?
5 seconds, go.
5 seconds. He's going to be the Nationals manager.
The Nationals manager?
Joe Girardi will be the Nationals
okay.
manager.
Okay.
John Farrell to the Phillies. Those are my two predictions.
Okay. All right. We'll get back next week and see if it's all coming true.
You got it.
All right, buddy. See ya. There you go. That's Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, joining you. What a scintillating segment of the program that we always have every time we talk to Seth. He is absolutely positively fantastic, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider right now hiring. And if you're looking for a new job, you want to get to a new team, that's the way to go. Call my friends at Schneider, 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
And Springer drives one pretty deep to right center field. On the run is Hernandez looking up, and that ball is gone! A two-run home run for George Springer, and the Astros are back on top. It's 7-5.
See ya! Do you care about the World Series? Do you care about the World Series? That's what I'm asking you. The World Series, if you didn't pay attention last night, or if you did and you turned away, probably is indicative that it just doesn't draw your interest. But that game last night might be the igniter for ratings for the remainder of this series. That was fantastic. That was a terrific game. It's not the drama of, you know, Yastrzemski and everything that went on in 75 or going back to some of the games that we've seen in recent history, but it was fantastic. Beginning to end, it captured the essence of at least today's baseball, and it brought back the memories of yesteryear if you're a baseball fan. And look, when I grew up, and I hate to say this because it somewhat dates me, but there was the East and the American League, the National League, the East and the West, you know, and the Dodgers, believe it or not, were actually in the same division as the Reds. That was the rival. Sparky Anderson, Tommy Lasorda, Davey Lopes, and Ron Say, and Steve Garvey, and all those guys. And then, you know, the big red machine of Bench and Rose and Geronimo and Griffey and Perez and Morgan and Concepcion and, you know, Foster. I mean, you know, you can go through that list, and that was the rivalry. So I remember a lot of the Dodger stuff. I became inundated with Dodger stuff as a kid. Last night when Vin Scully started bringing those names back, man, I'm not kidding you. When I was talking to Seth, I was getting goosebumps. Not necessarily because I'm some huge Dodger fan, but it's a respected franchise. And then you've got the upstart, rebuilt Astros that we all hope the Brewers are. Because remember, David Stearns was there. He was a part of that. Had a hand in that, the beginning of that rebuild. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, you've got this big, bad $300 million team in the LA Dodgers. And then you've got the team that tore it down, got rid of everybody. Beginning of the year, they go through the hurricane. You've got all the, and I shouldn't say beginning of the year because it was really more the mid portion end of the year, but they go through, they had a lot of hope and optimism coming into the season, the beginning of the year. They go through the season, they run away with the division, they have the hurricane that comes through Houston. Everything that that team had to endure, that they endured, that they went through to continue to win baseball games. And again, winning baseball games versus real life, there's not a comparison, Okay, I understand. I'm not demeaning that. But what I'm saying is that this is a team that just kind of persevered through everything and then got to the postseason, and then they had to go toe-to-toe with a wild card team in New York Yankees, the mighty Yankees. Here we go again. And they ended up winning that game, and people said, you know what? Write them off. They couldn't beat barely beat an upstart Yankees team. How in the world are they going to beat this $300 million team? And then last night they come back. It just, it was just such a cool event. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a sentimentalist. Who knows? But I thought it was fantastic. Do you care about the World Series? 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. This portion of the program, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Marshfield Clinic Health System. And I've talked about this time and again. They're the ones that fixed me up. My knee surgery was just over 3 years ago, and doing great. I'm doing really, really well, and still have a good relationship with my doctor. Like I said, he's one of the go-to guys when I talk about any Packers injury or any injury in general. But he's the guy I go to still, you know, text him up, here you go. Usually gets back to me, unless he's in surgery, of course. I don't want him pulling away from a patient, but just a great relationship with those people there. And then Care My Way helped me out when I was ailing and I didn't drive to Marshfield. I called them. I called 844-CARE-WAY and they sent a prescription right to my pharmacy and helped me out and still on the road to recovery and doing well. So Marshfield Clinic Health System, just great people. They treat you like a friend, not like a number. I've been telling you that for a long time. And if you do need something orthopedically, call my doc, Dr. Cicchini, Dr. Alcicchini. Just call him up, get a hold of him, say, hey, I heard him on the Bill Michaels Show. And go ahead and give him a shout and tell him we sent you. Does a great job. Really good. And he's the guy that actually, after it was all said and done, and I was still kind of having a little bit of pain and I really wasn't sure, he's the one that re-examined me and said, we're not doing surgery. We could, but we're not. This is the reason why. And talked me out of actually doing surgery. So, just, you know, again, give him a shout. Marshfield Clinic Health System, great people, good people there. And all you have to do is go to marshfieldclinic.org. That's marshfieldclinic.org. See all that they have to offer. Good people there. So no game tonight in the World Series. Last night, Astros get the win 7-6. 7-6, okay? Let me give you a statistic here real quick. Because this is mind-blowing to me, okay? 7-6. Last night, the Dodgers, they ended up putting up 6 hits last night. This is a microcosm of baseball. 5 of those hits were home runs. 5 of those hits were home runs. That it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing right now in Major League Baseball. Last night, the strikeouts outnumbered the hits. 11 strikeouts, 5 hits, or 6 hits, excuse me, 6 hits, and 5 of them home runs. Just that's the way baseball is. By the way, the stat of the day, always brought to you by our good friends at AppRoyo. AppRoyo, they're good people too, as a matter of fact. It's simple for companies just like yours. Right now, they make it simple to implement SAP and big data solutions. You can revolutionize your data and ignite your future with AppRoyo. Check them out on the web, approyo.com, for the AppRoyo stat of the day, approyo.com. And they bring you the stat of the day every day. 6 hits, 5 home runs the Dodgers had. All or nothing, baby. All or nothing. Are you enjoying the World Series? Let's go to Art, listening to us downtown. Art, welcome to the program. How you doing, man?
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Not much, man. Hey, I'm loving the World Series, man. It's the first two games have been off the charts with excitement. And I love the contrast. The first game, 2 hours and 28 minutes. I mean, Bill, where are you going to see a 2 hour and 28 minute baseball game? That was...
You still had time to go get tofu in L.A. somewhere to go out after a 2-minute, 20-minute baseball or 2-hour, 20-minute baseball game.
I still had time to go get wings at Bullwinkle's, man.
There you go.
It was awesome.
There you go.
I also like the fact that a couple Puerto Ricans there. You got Korea for Houston, and you got Kike Hernandez from L.A. giving the people in Puerto Rico something to feel good about as well. So there's some side twists to the series that I think are feel-good stories, but... Man, as far as excitement with baseball, it can't get much better than what we see in the first two.
Yep, no doubt. It's been good. It's been exciting. Appreciate the phone calls always, Artie. Been really, really good. When we come back, let's do this because I know we're running a little bit late and we've been off schedule today and it's my fault. So I want to get us back on schedule. Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com, LeagueSafePost.com, Fanball.com. It is time now for all of your fantasy football questions to be answered. That is coming up next. Call us 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Coming next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System. Hey, fantasy football players. Get the inside info to win your league this week right now. Our expert, Paul Charchian, is here to take your calls right now at 855-830-8648. Now, from LeagueSafe.com, LeagueSafePost.com, and Fanball.com, here's Paul.
Here's Paul. Bill Michaels Show continues, and we want to make sure that we let you know that Paul is in Minneapolis. We will be in Minneapolis for Super Bowl LII 52. It's coming up, and we're going to be brought to you by, again, on Radio Row, some great people that are going to be back with us again this year, our buddy Stenny's, which, by the way, they have now posted it officially, the Halloween party coming up this Saturday night. Yes, I will be judging the costume contest, so come on out for that. I do have a costume. I'm not going to reveal it yet. Because the only way you're even going to notice me is if Sherry doesn't show up. If Sherry shows up, nobody's even going to know I'm alive. Just an FYI. So if she's there, have at it. I'm just going to be kind of the paperweight that hangs on her arm, I guess is the best way to put it. But we'll be at Stenny's in National coming up this weekend in Walker's Point. Saturday night, the costume contest gets underway 8 to midnight for the party. Come on out and say hello. Also, Pizza Del Rey in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where if you're a veteran, show your military ID, you eat for free. And our buddy Dwayne from Cover It All up in Wausau as well. He does some great work up there. And can't forget about Auto Paint and Supply, a family-owned company, a family-owned business all throughout the state of Wisconsin. Auto Paint and Supply, it is in the name. Know it, live it, love it, learn it. There you have it. Paul Charchian joining us from LeagueSafePost.com, LeagueSafe.com, Fanball.com, Everything.com. Paul, how you doing?
I've got to believe you will be, just knowing your history, you will be going as a cowboy with assless chaps.
No, but you are close.
Okay.
No, you know what? Yeah. It was, I got to be honest, I've never really been a dress-up guy. I've never really been that. So I've done this.
You don't seem the type, I'll be honest.
Last year, I'll give you an insight into me, because I'm not a makeup kind of guy and all that. Last year, all I did was throw on a black suit, put a white collar on, and one as a priest.
That's easy.
And that was easy. By the state of intoxication, I now pronounce you legally drunk. So that was fantastic in my realm. So I'm stepping outside of myself, and I'm the only – okay. Paul, you and I are friends on Facebook, too. So you've seen my fiancée, Sherry, right?
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay. So this year she comes to me and she says, okay, I've got an idea because we're going to do something current. And I said, okay, what is it? She goes, I'm either going to go as the sexy Grim Reaper or his sidekick. And I said, well, what are we doing here? And she said, you be Hugh Hefner and I'll be a bunny.
Oh, now we're talking.
So I said, you know what?
Smoking robe, yeah.
I'll dress as a human turd if I get to see you in a bunny outfit. So so that's why I said, nobody's going to notice me, man. I'm going to be nothing more than a pile of emoji. That's it.
So. Where would you go if you needed to buy a pipe? I mean, I don't even know where to go to buy a pipe. Right? You just need it as a prop.
Well, I took a picture off of Google of Hugh Hefner in the red robe, the black silk pants, the pipe, and the captain's hat. And I ordered everything individually off of eBay. I even write down to the Giorgio Brutini velvet walking slippers.
Beautiful. That's fantastic.
The whole thing cost me about $100.
I love it.
Just found out yesterday the pipe will not get here until November 3rd.
Oh, no.
So I have to go find a pipe somewhere. But beyond that, man, I'm ready to go.
I think you shouldn't rule out mixing your Hugh Hefner with my assless chaps concept. You could do an assless robe.
I'm thinking about cutting it out now, yeah.
Don't rule that out.
Maybe I'll do that.
All right.
Okay.
Perfect.
Like I said, you know what? I could be smoking a stalk of corn. Nobody's going to even know me. It isn't going to matter.
It's not going to matter.
It's not going to matter, man. I'm going to walk in, and people are going to go, hey, that silk crap over there, move that guy. I got to get a shot
right.
of her.
She's
so there you go.
Get out of that shot. That's right.
It's time for fantasy football, and enough of me, I guess, is the best way to put it. Let's get into it, because we got William listening to us in Elm Grove. William, you got a question for Paul Charchi, and shoot!
Good afternoon. Tyreek Hill, Chris Hogan, or Michael Crabtree? I need 2 out of 3. And do you like Ajayi at all tonight?
I love Ajayi tonight. Ravens rank last against the run. They got their big run stuffer, Brandon Williams, back last week. He'd missed a month. The Vikings ran for 170 yards, so it did not seem to matter very much. Chris Hogan's way up at number 13 for me, so I do like him in this one. Chargers defense is holding opponents to 185 yards passing per game, which is really good, but they've also had trouble keeping receivers out of the end zone, and Hogan is the red zone target that they throw to. So I do like Chris Hogan here, and I think he's certainly a capable starter. Tyreek Hill is ranked number 22, but I like Crabtree better. Hold on, where's my Crabtree? Way up at number 9. Went for he goes up against Buffalo. Played Buffalo 1 year ago. 7 catches, 74 yards, a touchdown. One of the Buffalo cornerbacks, EJ Gaines, is dinged up in this one. He may not go with a hamstring injury. That would help as well. And Buffalo just gave up almost 400 passing yards at home. So I like Crabtree in this matchup.
Let's go to Tom listening to us in Greendale. Tom, welcome to the program. You got a question. What's up?
Sure. Which tight end do you like better this week? Jimmy Graham or Hunter Henry?
Yeah, it's a bad, bad week for tight ends for the most part. But I really like Hunter Henry this week. Since week 3, when Hunter Henry had no targets, so from that point forward, and by the way, Antonio Gate got the record. It's been all Hunter Henry from that point forward, and teams that target the tight end have had a lot of success against New England. The 5 teams that targeted their tight end 5 or more times all found touchdowns, and Henry's been targeted 5 times in 3 consecutive games. So it's all lining up for Hunter Henry. He's my number 2 tight end this week.
Let's go to Jeff listening to us downtown. Jeff, what do you got going on, man? Shoot.
Hey, Charge, I'm 6-1 in my league in first place. Last week online, you and I joked on Twitter whether I should trade Amari Cooper for a paper clip, and that was me. So the question is, can I trust Amari Cooper going forward? He sat on my bench last week and scored 61 points because I didn't play him. I still won, but can I trust Amari Cooper from this point forward?
It's a great question because it's fantasy football. Everybody went through exactly what you went through. The whole world benched him because they got tired of 8 yards and 6 yards and 9 yard games, and then he goes berserk. So now everybody puts him back in their lineup, and the fantasy gods almost always end up crapping on us when we do that. However, I got to believe that for the most part, Cooper is going to be pretty safe going forward. Todd Downing, your offensive coordinator, has to know that they had an epic offensive output last week in no small part because Cooper got fed. And the matchup this week's pretty good. As I mentioned before, EJ Gaines might not go. The Bills secondary is good, but it can be leaky. So I got Cooper with a pretty high rating this week. I got him at number 14 at the wide receiver position. So I've got some confidence that they're going to use him here.
I got one here from Lawrence who writes, I need 1 out of 3 for the flex position. It would either be Wendell Smallwood, Mohamed Sanu, or Marvin Jones Jr.
Gross. I don't like, to be honest, I don't like any of them. And I'll try one. Wendell Smallwood's the guy I'm going to go with. So Smallwood gets most of the Eagles' receptions, and the Niners have all the most receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns to opposing runners. So Smallwood's a guy you can get off the waiver wire in a lot of leagues, and this is actually a pretty good matchup. So let's go with Wendell Smallwood here.
I got another one here for you, and this is Drew Brees or Alex Smith. That's from Jesse listening to us on Twitter.
It's not close. I love Drew Brees this week. He's my number four quarterback. He's Chicago does have an underrated secondary. You guys know that because you see him all the time. They've allowed just 188 passing yards per game on the road, which is awfully impressive, but it's Drew Brees at home. His average home game over the last 3 years, 333 yards and 2.5 touchdowns. So I got to believe. And, then you add in the Chicago Bears offense, which is obviously very, very one-dimensional, and I think you get a couple of extra series from Drew Brees this week.
There you have it. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Tom, you'll be first on the shoot when we come back. If you got a question for Paul Charchian, load us up. 855-830-8648. If a line becomes available, more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
This is the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Welcome back to the program, Bill Michaels Show. On the air, we are glad to have you. And this portion of the program, by the way, being brought to you by our good friends at Quick Trip. And apparently, I'm going to do the thing for Tobacco Outlet Plus here, because I'm getting more than a few notes saying Tobacco Outlet Plus actually carries pipes. So I'm going to have to go get a real one for the Halloween contest for the costume coming up this Saturday night. So I'm going to stop over at Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery and pick one up, and I'm sure you have one near you, depending on where it is you are throughout the great state and beyond the borders. I know they carry them over in Minnesota, as a matter of fact. But yeah. Tobacco Outlet Plus Grocery, that's where you can stop in and get the groceries, get 38 cents a pound for whatever it is you're going to get. You get the man cave, the beer cave stuff. They have the walk-in humidors and pipes. There you have it. Charge, how you been?
Look, I understand that, you know, Amazon's not going to come through with you on the pipe. Do not go with a meth pipe. That would be...
No, I'm not going to do that.
Totally,
no, crack pipe, not going to do that either. Nothing that's going to involve that. I'm going with the old traditional, not necessarily the Sherlock Holmes and Watson pipe, but I'm going to stick with more traditional and all that.
Well, no, because he didn't have the whatever.
No, he had just the regular one. He had the 70s,
right.
How you doing, let me show you your tail pipe, so...
Exactly.
All right, let's get back to the phone calls.
Yeah, wait, before we go to the call.
Yes.
Everybody's asking me what they should do about their pack of receivers. I know I've got my answer, but I'm curious what you think, given, let's just call it a debacle that happened last week.
Yeah.
Now we've got a bye week. I'm hoping Brett Hundley's been spending this bye week in Cancun. I'm hoping he's doing whatever he needs to do to get better. What's your take, especially on the receivers for the Packers going forward?
Okay, I'm going to I'll give you brutal honesty here. I don't know if I'd be taking Packer receivers. If I'm going to take anybody, I'm going to take I'll take Jordy and maybe Geronimo Allison. Because Geronimo Allison, who he works with, look, Davante Adams is very good. We know that. Him and Devontae have worked together. We know that Randall Cobb has worked together. But if you're going to go with familiarity, when you put a guy like Geronimo Allison, Davante Adams, obviously your number one is going to be Jordy. I would go with those guys. I think he's probably going to utilize a tight end a lot more. Because he's not a downfield, hard-throwing, big-arm kind of guy and can't throw it into a window like Rodgers can. So some of those checkdowns, Ty Montgomery out of the backfield, Aaron Jones out of the backfield, tight end position, I would be working with those guys. I'd be looking for those guys and familiarity to make an impact.
I can't in good conscience advise people to go pick up Martellus Bennett right now.
I'm telling you. Captain Drop.
All right.
Yeah.
He's going to be available. You know, this on the bye. Given how bad he's been and the bye week, he's getting dropped everywhere this week.
Right.
So, you know, rolling at this time next week, he will be available in probably 2/3 of fantasy leagues. And you think Martellus Bennett's sitting on a better second half of the season?
I think he's going to be a guy that is utilized more, we'll say. As far as better goes, that's up to him. I said all along, look, if you're going to come into Green Bay and you're going to milk cows and all that kind of stuff, that's great. But you got to catch touchdown passes. He is yet to really impress and do it on a consistent basis. So.
Yeah, or catch a touchdown pass.
Right. Yeah, that's true, too. No doubt. Let's go to Tom listening to us in Brookfield. Tom, how you doing?
Hi. Good afternoon. Which quarterback would you start, Russell Wilson or Watson from Houston?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. They face each other in Seattle. Watson's been awesome, of course. But... Tricky start. First, Seattle's only giving him 202 passing yards per game. That's it. So, you know, there's that. And they haven't given up a rushing touchdown to a quarterback in 14 games. And they're giving up just 18 quarterback rushing yards per game. So, and get this. Here's a stat you probably don't know. No AFC quarterback has ever beaten Russell Wilson in Seattle, ever. So, roll all that together, and we're going to go with Russell Wilson here. Houston's got a good secondary, but good quarterbacks have gotten it done against them. Tom Brady and Alex Smith have combined for 700 yards and 8 touchdowns, and most of the rest of the quarterbacks Houston has faced have been just bad quarterbacks. So we'll try Russell Wilson and see if he can hit the Tom Brady, Alex Smith level of play.
Detroit's defense or Buffalo's defense?
I think I'm going to go with Detroit's defense, which has been a really good fantasy defense anyway. Registered a bunch of sacks. They've had touchdowns. And then on the road, Ben Roethlisberger is always super sketchy. So, and, you know, and you've got the whole Martavis Bryant thing. You know, what if there's some intangibles from that? Who knows? You know, they're going to be taking one of their starting receivers off the table. We'll try the Lions and see if that works.
Big Ben, and you just mentioned him, or Cam Newton, yes, who's had a hell of a week again.
I love Cam Newton. You know, the bit on Cam has been he's had these three great games, and they've all come against really bad secondaries. And here's maybe the worst of the bunch, the Bucs. They're giving up over 300 passing yards per game, 2 touchdowns per game, and Cam's rushing return over the last 3 weeks, 7, 11, and 9 carries, and that's always been the big difference maker that Cam has brought is the rushing. And if he's rushing to pre-concussion levels, that makes Cam really valuable. He's my number 2 quarterback this week.
That's it, Charge. Good stuff as always. Did you make the reservation at Manny's, by the way?
Tried, and they are not taking reservations quite yet. We're in queue to get, hopefully, a reservation.
You got pool over there. I believe in you, man. Just so you know, I believe in you over there.
Well, yeah, you know how we feel about that.
Yeah.
So,
wait,
are you bringing the gal, and are you bringing the bunny suit?
The bunny suit, I'm not sure of. Apparently, there's a mix. She's listening, and she said it's a mix between the Grim Reaper and the bunny suit. So I don't know what some kind of grim bunny. I don't know what the hell it is.
That's peculiar, but
I told her you really want to drive me crazy. Go as the quick chocolate bunny. I might even like that too. That'll be bring back a kid memory.
Awesome. Talk to you in a week.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. See ya. There you go. That's Paul Charchian. Time for us to go for this hour. We'll be back another hour. Stick around. More to come right after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.